Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
I feel slightly sort of, I'm not quite sure how to follow on from that, because your slide with those cogs on and that nice big central government, you know, driving everything, and here I am being invited to talk to you about DWP's European Social Fund programme, which is a big central government, you know, industrial size programme, and that's what we do, don't we, in DWP. So I thought I'd actually start off by providing you perhaps with a slightly different perspective on where we stand now. Of course, DWP does deal with large industrial programmes. You know, we cover the whole of Great Britain, we have to pay benefits to millions of people, and we do have, you know, lots and lots of big programmes that we commission at the centre. But, you know, the context is changing. And I think in the context of troubled families and a lot of wider issues, we actually see this as being about social justice. And I'm sure many of you know that our Secretary of State, Ian Duncan Smith, is very, you know, he promotes the social justice agenda. In fact, he set up the Centre for Social Justice. And actually he's using, and he sees the Department for Work and Pensions as being the department that supports, you know, welfare. As part of working with and helping to support the most disadvantaged in society. And so within DWP now, there's a whole group of us who work within that sort of social justice umbrella. And actually part of our role is to sort of take what DWP does on the grand scale and work across government and outside government to say, but what does that mean for social justice? And up here I've just put a few quotes taken from the social justice strategy. And really saying that actually it isn't necessarily about large and industrial-scale programmes. There are a number of principles that we're now trying to apply to what we do and in partnership with other departments. And some of these, I hope, will resonate with some of the things that people have been talking about already and we'll go on to talk about for the rest of today. So it is a focus on prevention and early intervention. And that's not just early intervention, early years stuff, but also it's about intervening early in programme, you know, in situations. So the point that Linda was making on that slide about where do you position some of your funding. Just picking a few out. Work, well, you know, DWP is always going to see work as a really positive thing. It is a sustainable route out of poverty. But it's how you get there, I think. And we're now looking for much more innovation in commissioning. We do have to commission, and we do commission large programmes, but we're actually conscious that really an awful lot of very good delivery for people who are most disadvantaged happens at a local level, is very targeted and is very particular. So we're very keen to look at how we can do more to actually engage the voluntary and community sector and grassroots delivery. So, you know, the world is actually changing slightly, and I think as we go forward, hopefully, and on the ground, hopefully some of you are seeing some of this. So social justice, if we're going to deliver it successfully, is actually going to depend on a number of things, including working locally. And so I think this sort of slight tension between big central government and how do we make it all work locally is something where we're trying to bridge that gap. So, turning then to this programme, I'm hoping that a lot of you will already know a bit about it, but in case you don't, because I've done a few talks recently and it's surprising how many people go, oh, is that what it's about? Just to sort of set the scene again. We actually launched it in December last year. In the way of sort of commissioning, that had been about 9 months in the cooking. We'd done a lot of development of the specification. We'd gone out and talked to local authorities. We got agreement that actually this was something where local authorities would be really interested in sort of feeding into and being part of the referral process. We were all ready to go. And then the Prime Minister made his wonderful announcement of the big, you know, Troubled Families programme that Louise Casey was going to launch. And what that did for us is it just sort of slowed everything down. So we had all this money available, all the providers ready to go, and then everybody was going, whoa, let's wait and see what happens with this other programme. But it is important because it is part of, and it has become part of, the Troubled Families Routeway. So what actually is this provision? think we need to make very clear, in case anybody's under any illusions, this is not a back-to-work programme. If people do get into work, that's good, but it is not a let's get anybody into a job at any cost as quickly as possible programme. It is focused on families. The concept was very much around the strong feedback that we'd had from a lot of different places, that actually one of the big problems for a lot of people who've been out of work a long time is that they're actually in families where everybody's out of work or there's been intergenerational worklessness, and that so many of the programmes that are run, either by ourselves or others, focus on an individual. And you can do great work with an individual and motivate them and give them the skills and do all of that stuff. And then they go back into the home environment and everybody's going, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to go out to work? We don't go out to work. You know? And if you're motivated to do that and you're the one that's got to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to go and get a bus and everybody else is still in bed and watching the telly and so on, it can be very hard. Quite apart from the fact, and I accept sometimes the benefit arrangements don't help entirely. So this programme was designed to actually try and work with whole families as far as possible. It's part-time, so doesn't impact on any of the benefit rules, and it's designed to be flexible and tailored. And key, I think, along with a lot of our programmes, is that last bullet point about post-employment support. Where people do go into work, we feel it's really important that people are helped to stay in work. I think too often historically we've sort of stopped at the day when somebody starts work and thought, tick, you know, that's an outcome. But actually the hardest work is sometimes those first few weeks as people are adjusting to, you know, a new way of living, really. And sometimes the things that you and I might take for granted as just irritations in the working life, you know, the bus is late and you've got to explain why you're late in, or you know, HR mess up the payroll again and you don't get paid on your first month and that's an issue, but it's not, you know, not life-threatening. Actually, for somebody who's been on benefits, for whom that first pay packet's really important, for somebody who doesn't know how to talk to their supervisor because they're late in, these things can be quite daunting. So in-work support is really, really a key feature. So as I said, who's eligible? Well, families that are sort of multi-generational worklessness, families with multiple problems. This is not intended to be a family intervention project. This is not for your families in crisis, on the edge, whatever term you use. But this is intended to be for families who are ready to start making the journey back to work, or individuals are in there. Family members must be over 16, so this can actually support the needs agenda as well. So if you've got 16 and 17-year-olds in the family. And you only need one person in the family to be on an out-of-work benefit for the whole family to be eligible. And that individual on the benefit doesn't have to be the one that gets the actual support from the programme. It could be somebody else in the family. And it's quite, you know, it really is quite flexible. What they don't do, and I need to say very clearly, is work with or have anything to do with children under 16, because I know a lot of people worry about sort of safeguarding issues. It is important, but actually that's not part of it. And again, just to re-emphasise why this is not a sort of into-work programme, pure and simple. We've set the contract structure so that 30% of the contract value will go if people get into jobs, and those jobs have got to be sustained jobs. So at least 26 weeks if you've been on JSA and 13 weeks if you've been on other benefits. But 70% of the contract value, if you just, you know, do the maths, that's £140 million, is actually going to be paid for what we call progress measures. But that's actually things that help people on the journey back to work. And those things are many and varied. We actually allowed our bidders to say what they thought those progress measures should be. And there was a great long list that we ended up with. And different providers have different progress measures that they will get rewarded for. And that could be, you know, dead obvious things like getting a CV written or going on a job search course. But it could also be to do with, you know, getting motivational support or confidence building. It could be, you know, referring people to other support agencies, debt management, something like that. So there's a real wide range of measures, which if those activities are delivered, then we pay our providers. So it, you know, I'm trying to emphasise here that this actually is something that is been asked for a long time, that it isn't just about getting people into jobs. In that sense, I said right up front that we see this as being part of the Troubled Families Programme. It's part of the Troubled Families Programme in two ways. One is, you know, it's some capacity out there. There is money out there for families, and you know, it's there to be used. The agreements that local authorities have signed with CLG have some line in it. I can't remember the exact wording, but it says, and we will use all this capacity, you know, inference, because it is good. You know, it is out there to be used. And also, you know, there is an expectation that a large number of the families that will be identified as part of the Troubled Families Programme will access this provision. It isn't only, though, for the Troubled Families provision. So it's a big Venn diagram with a big overlap, but actually it's not only for the people that you identify for that programme. We're working very closely together nationally and with local authorities. It may feel, I don't know if anybody in the room's got any experience of having to sort of manage the data sharing arrangements that we've got in place. It's been a bit hard over the last few weeks and months, I will admit, for everybody. But actually, one of the sort of groundbreaking things that we think this programme has driven is the ability to share data a bit more easily. I wouldn't say it's very easy, but it's a bit more easy. And we're going through a process where, you know, local authorities will identify the families or individuals that come out of the sort of the education and the crime measures, and those details are sent to DWP, and we run a check to identify any adults in the household that meet the benefit criteria. That's been a mammoth task, and if anybody wants to talk about that later, I'm happy to do that. But we're trying to improve some of those processes because we know they haven't been that good. But there is real commitment at national level to do that joining up and try and see these things as actually working together. But also, actually, the detail will happen and it'll be made to work locally on the ground. So, yes, local authorities are responsible for identifying families and referring into that ESF provision. And that's really important. Now, we've had to introduce some sort of alternative routeways in because in some areas, quite a few areas, it's been really quite slow to get moving. Our providers, I don't think I mentioned it on the slide, are on 100% outcome payments. They don't get anything just for referring people in. So this is real payment by results territory. And so, you know, they really do expect provision, you know, referrals in so that they can actually start working with these families. So it's really important that we use this. Otherwise, the money is just not going to get used. And, you know, how sad would that be? So we do, you know, want actual local dialogue on the ground. And we're finding that actually where that happens, you can get some really good results. I was out in Wandsworth last week, and what I saw over there is that there was a really good tie-up between children's centres and the ESF provider. And what happened there is the ESF provider or the subcontractor had a view of what their sort of progress measures were and what they wanted to do and get paid for. And actually that didn't quite match with what the needs were of the families that were using the children's centres. So it was actually a bit of a dialogue between the local authority and the provider. And so they changed what they were going to do. And we can do that in contracts. Our contracts are flexible enough to do that, despite them being large, industrial, centrally driven departmental contracts. We can change that. So they were able to flex what their offer was to meet the needs of the families that were in those particular children's centres. And as a result, they've got a much better tie-up. They've got families accessing those services at the same time as other council-offered services. And for the families, that seems very joined up and sensible. So local discussion is the way these contracts actually best work, even though they're centrally let. And we expect our providers to work with local authorities, and we're pushing them through our sort of contract management arrangements. So if any of you get them knocking on the door, it'd be really helpful, if you're not already talking to them, to sort of open up and see what you can do, because we genuinely do see this not as a central programme, but as a local programme that can and should be locally delivered. Okay. that.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.